patrolling the sidelines on game days and beating the pros inside the lines on off days. A 5'10 guard from Elon University. It's Bally Sports Wisconsin Zora Stevenson on Homer and Tony.
Yeah, we got to redo that intro. She's also at the Olympics. She's also at Notre Dame football games, and now we're going to find out where else she is. Pebble, do we have that deep voice person? Can we get that redone? So, though she does so many things, it may shorten the segment so much that
we can definitely do it. Yeah.
All right, we will. Zora, good afternoon. What else have you done? I got Notre Dame football, the Olympics, the Bucks. Keep going because we want to do a proper intro.
WNBA.
Oh yeah, should have known that.
And yeah, that's it.
I think you know what you need next. Rodeo. Yeah.
You know, every time I say, oh, I'm not really into that sport, then I end up being into that sport. So
yeah, I can see you. Nothing, rodeo. Zora Stevenson, what do we have now in the bull riding? Well, yeah. And when it happens, just let us know first on Twitter or somewhere.
You got it.
Yeah.
I'll come on and talk about it.
Yes.
You know, I was wondering where you were going to start today. I was wondering if you're going to start with the Bucks or the NBA in general.
What? Oh, no. Come on. Bucks are unbeaten. They're unbeaten. Take it away, Zora.
See, this is great because we actually get to focus because I feel like Tony would have wanted to start on the mess of the NBA, but we get to start on the Bucks and the drama-free Milwaukee franchise that we all know and love. 6-0. You know, they're just what's really stood out to me. One, the defense, but two, this group hasn't even had a really powerful offensive game just yet, where everybody's clicking on all cylinders and knocking down shots, and Giannis is attacking the rim. They haven't had that game. They've had spurts, right? Like, you know, Giannis has had the 40-point games, and now Drew has come alive in the clutch, and Bobby's has had his night. But putting it all together, they haven't done that yet, and they're still 6-0. And Chris Middleton has not played this season yet. Oh, wait, and a couple months down the road, Joe Ingles will join this group. Oh, and wait, Pat Connaughton has been out with the calf strain. Like, I mean, I'm so impressed, and I shouldn't necessarily be impressed because this is what we've been accustomed to seeing, but I think we can't get too used to it. Like, we have to appreciate what's right in front of us in terms of, you know, the great basketball that we get to watch.
Now I want 10. Night. I want 10. You tell them. I want 10.
You want 10 what?
I want 10-0. At 6, I want 10.
Okay. Right. So that means a win against Detroit.
I don't even know. I don't care who they play. I count on a win in every game. I think they're going to win every game. So what difference does it make?
Why'd you say 10-0?
I just think 10, you know, now you're in double figures.
Yeah. Well, folks may remember a few years ago, the 2019-2020 season before the pandemic, and the Bucks had 18 wins in a row before Dallas beat them. So, I mean, this team, and I mean, it was the same core. Drew wasn't here just yet, but obviously Giannis, Chris, Brooke, this group knows how to go on a little streak. But what's interesting is these, you know, we're talking about the streak, and of course the guys are aware and it's nice, but it has really nothing to do with the bigger goal that they're trying to attack. Like, they're like, yeah, it's great, but 6-0 doesn't win you a championship.
No, but
it's a part of
it. It has to create a level of confidence. Even if it is.
Yeah, but I don't think the team wavered confidence. I think it's, one, everybody's got to be healthy, right? That, I mean, I think if last season revealed anything, it's just like health is so, so important. And that's hard with an 82-game season where so much happens. And then obviously clicking at the right time. But if this team's healthy, they're really, really good.
Yes, Tony, the Hall of Famer, is not here today. He's on assignment, but I put him in charge of what to do with Brooke Lopez because it's clear how good they are when he's playing at his high level, not worried about a back injury. So I said, Tony, you're in charge. You want him to not play too much. How much do you play? And he said Brooke shouldn't practice. He said, snud. He said, back when he plays, you don't practice. Brooke decides when he's going to practice because he clearly still wants to play in the games. You're kind of not, you didn't really buy into that.
Hard, right? Like, you can't do that.
Why not?
How are you supposed to put stuff? How are you supposed to go over stuff? I mean, there's just so many.
Well, no. He goes, excuse me, I stand corrected. He goes to practice. He just doesn't play at practice. Like,
but can he? Oh, okay. How about, but can he walk through things?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but now you get to the point, and there's only a handful of times once you get into the crux of the season where they're actually playing pickup at practice, 5-on-5, full court, right? Like, Bud is really good at managing these guys. So if Brooke is not playing in those 5-on-5 games in practice, then that means you're putting somebody else in his spot, which means he can't continue to build communication, camaraderie, gel.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying that's what matters.
You don't need that. You're getting that during the games. You're not buying. All right, I can't wait till next week. We will discuss.
I'm not buying.
All right, well, then let's say I'm not putting you in charge. Okay, I fired Tony because he's never going to do rodeo. and I'm putting you in charge as to what to do with Brooks so that he's ready for the playoffs because...
So we protect Brooke at all costs.
Well, no, we protect him at the right cost. Not at all costs.
That's a great statement.
And Tony had his version, and now I ask yours. Because clearly you should protect him to some degree, given his age, size, everything, right?
I agree, and I think Coach Bud does that with the way he does substitutions, the way he plans practices, the way he decides if there should be practice or not. I mean, Brooke's playing, 31 and a half minutes? And you know, honestly, I'm looking back at a few years. Brooke is used to playing, like, 2019, 2020, played 26 minutes, 27 minutes. Last year, kind of an off year, but played 23 minutes. So this is more minutes than Brooke usually plays. But I also think, like, the guy is really excited to be able to go through training camp, to be back with the team, to be back on the floor, to be healthy. And he's playing well, and he feels good. You don't want to take him out of a rhythm. That's why, coaching's hard. Managing this kind of stuff, is tough. And also, you want to be healthy, and you also want to be in a rhythm. Like, you also want to win games. You also want to put yourself in a good position for the playoffs. I say if it's not broke, don't fix it. Everybody feels good. And obviously, you got certain days.
No, come on, Zora. You can't be playing him that many minutes for the whole season. Are you going to... sit him out back-to-back?
I don't think there's going to be a set cadence. I think it's going to be, certain situations. I don't think it's going to be, every second night of a back-to-back, you won't see X player. I don't think it's that simple. I think they really track it based on minutes, days between games, all the things. I mean, there's so many analytics that, the medical staff uses to decide, what a player's bandwidth is. And, right now, 31 and a half minutes per game through the first six games.
Can't wait.
They also got a back. They had a back-to-back last weekend. They have a back-to-back this weekend. The NBA season is a grind. And,
Can't wait till next week's debate between the two who would have the best plan for Brooke Lopez. All right, that aside, what has impressed you the most? Either what player or you're watching the games, and what has created a wow from you?
I don't know if it's so much of a wow, but just some things that have stood out. One, specifically last night, right? The Bucks were 0-for-14 from a three-point line to start the second half. And then, the go-ahead bucket that you needed the most down the stretch, with I think it was 50 seconds or so to go, was a three-pointer from Jrue Holiday. It's impressive to me how this group is able to knock down shots when it's needed most. And I think we really saw that from Giannis in the Atlanta game, saw it from Jrue too in the Atlanta game. This group is just so – they're just really good. Regardless of what happened throughout the first three and a half quarters, when it's needed, when the game's on the line, they know how to do what's needed to get the win. And I think that is a sign of maturity for this group and how far this group has come together. Because there'd be a few years ago where, you know, it'd be close game, you're on a little winning streak, and maybe they drop it. But they're figuring out ways to win no matter how the game is going. Brooke Lopez's defense has been phenomenal, but I think in conjunction with the pressure that the guards are now capable of playing. I mean, Drew Holiday, always been amazing. But now you got Jabon Carter in the starting lineup with Chris Middleton out, and this guy is picking up full court. He looks annoying as ever as a defender. Like, I would never want to play Jabon Carter on one-on-one. You would just steal the ball every time. He's just one of those pesky defenders. So you've got Drew Holiday, who's a pesky defender, Jabon Carter, who's a pesky defender, and you've got Brooke Lopez at the rim, and then you've got Giannis just flying around everywhere. I mean, the Bucks defense is fueling everything. Like I said, they really haven't had, you know, a crazy, impressive offensive game just yet, but it's coming because, I mean, they're getting good shots. You just got to knock them down. But defense is how they've won these first six games, and I think that's, you know, where you want to be because defense is what you can control.
Talking with Zora Stevenson. She does everything now. We'll get the intro appropriately. I think I want Giannis to put up 70 in a game. and you have to find out the team that plays.
You asked for a lot. First, I need to keep 10-0. I think last week it was 82-0. Okay, now Giannis, 70 points in a game. Okay,
yeah, keep going. I don't know what two plays bad. No, he can. He's now got, because my question was going to be, in what area has Giannis improved? Because he's always working on something. And he clearly, to me, now has the step-back jumper from anywhere, which means if he's making that shot and a few threes, I think he can score 100. But I want him to start slowly and just do a 70.
I mean, yeah, I think Giannis, if he wanted to, could score like 80% of the points in a game, right? Like,
yes.
If he set out to do that.
If they'll give him transition baskets and not stop him, every rebound he goes and dunks and then shoots a three.
But in order to do that, it would have to be a fast break and a player is clearly ahead of you and you decide not to pass that player just so you can get to your 80, right? Like, in the flow of a game, that's not going to happen. But yes, Giannis is capable. The great players are capable. I mean, you go back to, like, Kobe Bryant and his last game as a Laker, right? Like, the whole point of that was for him to get his. And he did just that. But that doesn't always mean it's in the flow of the game. And Giannis plays with his teammates. Like, he doesn't set out to, like, you know, crunch up the numbers. That's why he's able to have 43 and 44-point performances that, like, you're like, oh, wait, Giannis has 40? Because he's not forcing it.
No, to me, what would have to happen is, like, so he has a first quarter where he's hitting everything in threes, and he's got, like, 22. And they call timeout and they go, all right, Giannis, tonight's the night. What? Go for 100. And then you see how many he gets. He's
regular.
He's a team guy. Regular season, it's got to be against the – I mean, we can look at the worst defensive teams and stuff. And he's never going to go into a game thinking that. But I think if he has over 20 in the first quarter against a weak team, then he shoots for 100 and not accept 80. So I don't know how you can't pass that along to him because he's never going to want to do it. Right.
No, it just doesn't. He wouldn't want to do it. I mean, Giannis is a guy that like wants to make sure that all his other teammates get the credit.
Right. So they have to say, they got to have this little chit chat. I'm not a part of it. He's like, all right. Against a bad team, Giannis puts up. How many does Giannis have to put up in the first quarter? This is what you ask them for him to go for 100. And then they'd have to say, because at some point they would consider it, wouldn't they?
I don't think so.
You know, if he puts up 30 in the first quarter, they won't be going.
No.
That's why they have to think about it ahead of time. He will never do it, but they have to tell him, Giannis. This is about 100. We're setting you up. So if they've given it some thought as to how they're going to handle it, ask a couple of them privately. You don't have to mention their name. That this old guy says, all right, how many would Giannis have to score in the first quarter? You know, the person to go to is Bobby Portis. That's the guy to ask. But then now you're going to say who told you, and I don't want you to do that. Let's ask him, how many would Giannis have to score in the first quarter for you or teammates to think of going, Giannis, Let's get 100 tonight. What would it be for you? I think even you at 30, I think you would think about it. What do you think?
30 in the fourth quarter. In the first quarter, though, if you scored 30 points
yes.
in the first quarter.
Yep.
That wouldn't even cross my mind. I'd wonder what's the game? Like, are the Bucks up? Or
all right. Come on. Zara, all right. I apologize. 40. He puts up 40 in the first quarter.
I'm like, wow, it's the first quarter. I wonder what he can get by the end. But I'm
yeah! All right. For Zara, it's 40. But if he gets 40 in the first quarter, you know he can get 100, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could. All I'm right. just saying, okay. like, yeah. Yeah. But I already believe Giannis, if he really wanted to, could.
Get 100?
Yeah.
All right, ask him.
But like I said, it's just not in the flow of the game. All right,
okay, fine. So, ask somebody on the team that. You believe that if Giannis really wanted to, he could match Wilt Chamberlain. Do a poll for me. You don't have to tell me who.
And I do think they'd say yes. If Giannis really wanted to.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would debate that.
I'm not even sure he could.
If he really wanted to?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he could. No.
Hmm.
Nope. So that will motivate him? Homer doesn't, old man doesn't believe in you. He doesn't think you can get 100. That's the approach we'll take.
Well, and that's how you get Giannis going. You tell him you can't do something.
Yeah. So, all right, ask it around. Ask that question. I'm curious to that. I don't know if you have to do it next week. You're busy. You know, you might get all these other things, other places you're going to. Well, you don't have the Olympics. But how many players that you ask? I asked five. How many said they believe Giannis could get 100 if he wanted to?
I don't know if I'm using my conversations on that, Homer.
Well, no, it isn't. It takes 5 seconds. You do all your other stuff. Oh, by the way, do you think Giannis could?
I just think I'm going to answer for it. I think it's a yes.
For me, you're not even going to ask him? Can you ask one just for me? One player?
They're literally going to look at me like, why are you asking me?
Fine. And then you say, look, I work with this old guy. He could die. I just want to kind of please him before he passes on. Whatever reason you have to give. You don't have to give that one. But, yeah, you have to say, I'm doing it as a favor to somebody who asked. Because you're right. They would think and look and go, you're not asking that question. You would never ask that question. You're doing this for somebody else. So there's a reason you're doing this, right?
No, I think they would answer, even if it's, like, to the side, like, has nothing to do with, like, reporting or anything. But I just think they'd be like, I mean, yeah, of course. Why, like, yeah, if you really wanted to, he could.
Has he gotten good enough as a shooter that he could beat you in horse? Yes?
Maybe. Because horse is a little bit of, like...
No, not love. Crazy shot horse, shooting horse.
Right. No, I know. It all depends on the moment. Like, Chris got me. When Chris beat me, it was all the mid-range.
Yeah. No, it's got to be shooting. He can't do weird stuff.
Money from the mid-range.
Right.
I mean, I think I could.
You don't
think. Yeah, it depends how I'm shooting.
Yeah, but you don't. You think, all things being, you're going to beat Giannis.
I mean, I could not say, you know, for sure one way or the other. I think it could be a game.
Hold on one second. Pebble, can you put an intro in where we have where we talk about Zora and says Zora, who says she could beat Giannis in a game of horse?
Maybe we can put that in there.
Yeah, put that in the intro. All right. Talk to you later, Zora.
Bye.
Tony will be back. And they can argue next week about the best way to keep Brook Lopez at his best for the playoffs. We should put that up as the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Do you think Giannis could score 100 points in an NBA game? Pebble, what do you think?
He could if he wanted to, yeah.
You think so? You think he could if he wanted to?
If they didn't care about winning the game.
Well, I mean, like, he's got to take every shot.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at the... I don't think so. Next.